上个礼拜我们提到上帝是圣洁的。
Last week we talked about how God is holy.
所以他给我们圣洁的呼召。
And so he gave us a holy calling.
上帝按照他圣洁的本性成了我们被造的形象。
And because he is holy, he becomes part of our image.
所以人是唯一有道德功能可能性的活物。
The human being is the only living with a conscience.
这样圣洁的公性，圣洁的这个本性。
And so holiness,
神就把一个代表放在我们里面。
Is given to us as a representative.
这就是良心的功用。
And that is a function of a conscience.
良心就是上帝的代表。
A conscience is the representation of God.
良心为上帝做督责的工作。
Conscience actually judge us.
做光照的工作。
Enlighten us.
做警戒的工作。
Warns us.
做审判的工作。
And judges us.
以我们一同知道我们所犯的，我们所做的一切的事情。
He knows everything that we have done with us.
所以良心这个字原来的意思就是与我同知的那一个。
The original meaning of the word conscience is the co-knower.
同知者。
The person who knows,
就是我们的良心。
He is our conscience.
而良心所做的工作不是为了他自己的益处。
The work by the conscience is not for itself.
因为良心是神的代表。
Because it represents God.
所以良心不受贿赂。
It is not bribeable.
良心只受欺压。
It can only be bullied.
而良心是属于人本能里面的一部分。
But it belongs to part of the humankind.
所以这是上帝存在的内在印证。
This is the mark of the existence of God.
上帝的存在不是用证明把它证出来的。
The existence of God is not the result of proof.
证明是人做主体去把上帝当的客体来把它证明出来的。
When you want to prove something, God becomes an object that you try to prove.
神绝对不是证据的范围里面的东西。
God is not an existence within proof and evidence.
所以用证据去证明上帝本身已经是对一个上帝的误会，以及对上帝的侮辱。
And so when you try to prove the existence of God, it's an insult to God.
丹麦的哲学家齐克果讲一句话。
The Danish philosopher Kierkegaard said,
他说上帝明明在这里。
God is right here.
你不要跟他交通。
You are not communicating with him.
你没有跟他有一个这个相符的关联。
You have no relationship with him.
但是你故意要去证明他的存在。
But you are trying to prove his existence.
这就是对上帝的一个侮辱。
This is an insult to God.
所以当然，丹麦的这个神学家、哲学家齐克果，他是有一个很重要的方法论，跟以前所有的哲学的方法论是不一样的。
But the methods used by this Danish philosopher is different from all other
philosophers. 特别他是完全反对理性系统的方法论的。
He especially was against the system based on reason.
所以他绝对不能接受赫格尔。
He cannot accept Hegel.
赫格尔是马克思的老师。
Hegel was a teacher of Karl Marx.
赫格尔是整个唯心论的思想界的集大成者。
And he is the great pioneer in the understanding of idealism.
他也就变成了四个人最反对的仇敌。
And he becomes one of the four enemies.
这四个人是谁呢？
Who are these four persons?
第一就是 Ludwig Feuerbach.
The first one is Ludwig Feuerbach.
费尔巴哈。
Feuerbach.
第二就是尼采。
The second one is Nietzsche.
第三就是齐克果。
The third one is Kierkegaard.
第四是马克思。
And then Karl Marx.
这四个人一同不约而同的反对赫格尔的理论。
All four were enemies to Hegel.
因为赫格尔认为他的思想就是人类历史中间最精细、最宏大、最完整、最深入、最好的思想。
Hegel believed that his thought system is the best and most concise of all humanity.
如果你把赫格尔整个文化的这个总体的理论来看。
When you look at the summary teaching of Hegel,
那么他给每一种艺术有不同的定位。
He gave every form of art a different definition.
到最后呢，哲学是比神学更高的。
In the end, he believed philosophy to be higher than theology.
神学是比宗教更高的。
Theology higher than religion.
所以神学可以解释宗教。
And so theology will explain religion.
哲学可以解释神学。
Philosophy will explain theology.
哲学中间最高的哲学就是他自己的哲学。
And he said that his system in philosophy is the highest.
当他讲这句话的时候，我有一点对为他不好意思。
When he said that, I thought it was quite embarrassing for him.
但是他一点也没有不好意思。
But he was not falling.
全世界最高的文化就是哲学，而是全世界最高的哲学就是他的哲学。
He believed that his system of philosophy is the grandest in the whole world.
那么他哲学中间的方法论。
and his epistemology in the philosophy.
正反合的这个辩证法来演进的。
Comes from thesis, antithesis, and synthesis.
这三个字本来不是他发明的。
And these are not words
by him. 他用了最多，也是被引用的最常用的。
But it has been used most often about him.
就在他还没有死以前
，before he died，
就产生了四个成为他反论的思想家起来反对他。
There were four important thinkers that were opposing to him.
所以这实实在在就应验了他的哲学的方法论。
And indeed, it shows that his methods was right.
因为他说正论一定产生反论。
He says that a thesis must give rise to an antithesis.
反论产生综合论。
And then an antithesis gave a synthesis.
他是历史以来几千年所有思想最后的综合论。
And he is the last synthesis.
他没有想到他的综合论马上变成正论，引起四个反论。
But because his synthesis became a thesis, immediately there were four antitheses.
这是哲学很好玩的事情。
This is something interesting in philosophy.
所以这四个人，包括齐克果
，these four persons, including Kierkegaard,
他就反对了这个赫格尔的这种思想系统。
They all opposed the thought process of Hegel.
反对了这个用理性解释一切的可能。
They were opposed to the idea that everything can be explained by the reason.
这个齐克果的思想是以存在作为他的方法论。
Kierkegaard placed emphasis on the existence.
所以他又被称为是存在主义之父。
And so he's known as the father of existentialism.
他对神的存在不是用证明去把它证出来的。
Towards the existence of God, he does not believe that you can prove.
他要用关联去接触这个存在。
He wants to use relationship to understand this.
这个关联是个别的存在与神之间的对相对性的存在。
And this relationship is between the individual and that of God.
所以他给存在下的定义是什么呢
？His definition for existence
存在就是个体在神面前的存有，这个叫做存在。
Is that existence is when an object exists in relationship with God?
To be exist, to be with oneself alone before God. 所以你是在神面前个别的存有。
And so your existence must be before God.
这个叫做有神论的存在。
And this is the existence of theism.
也是有神论的存在主义。
And he is also an existentialist who is also a theist.
这个 theistic existentialism, 这个有神论的存在主义跟无神论的存在主义是完全不一样的。
It's different from the atheistic existentialism.
虽然都是在讲人的存在跟存在的价值的这些课题。
Although they are all discussing about the existence of man.
但无神论的存在是人为本的存在主义。
But the atheistic existentialism is against our very existence.
就像尼采的。
Like Nietzsche.
就像沙特的。
Or Satar.
这些都是无神的存在主义者。
And these are atheists.
那我今天稍微跟大家提到的观点，这就跟良心之间的关系，我要再讲一些的话语。
And today I want to dwell a little bit further into instinct and conscience.
上帝的存在。
The existence of God.
是有两个印证显明出来的。
Can be seen by two marks.
这是罗马书第一章第十九、第二十节告诉我们的。
We see this in Romans chapter 1 verses 19 and 20.
因为上帝自从造天地以来
，since the creation of heaven and earth，
是我们眼睛不能看见的。
We cannot see God.
但是借着所造之万物
，but through the whole creation，
我们心里就可以知道。
We know in our hearts.
因为他已经把我们可以知道的事情向我们显明出来了。
Because he has revealed to us what we can know.
所以上帝虽然眼不能见
，although God is invisible，
借着所造之物
，but through the creation，
已经把他的永恒跟他的全能的本性放在里面了。
His eternity and his power can be seen.
所以我们从内心的自觉看见了外在的印证，我们就无可推诿知道他是存在。
So instinctively we know that he exists and we have no excuse.
这样，上帝的存在不是人为本把上帝当作客体去证出来的。
And so the existence of God does not come because we are in the center and we try to prove him.
上帝的存在是神自己为本把他自己显明给人为客体。我们就这样领受了他自己所显明的证据。
The existence of God comes because God is in the center and He has revealed to us the object.
所以宇宙万物的被造是外面的印证。
The creation of all things is a mark of the existence of God.
里面良心自救的证的显明是我们里面的印证。
But internally, the mark consists of our conscience.
所以这就是 external witness。 and the internal witness 两样内外互相呼应的神的显明。
And therefore there are two witnesses, external and internal, showing us that God exists.
这个显明应当被放在启示的范围里面。
And this existence can be seen in Revelation.
如果上帝没有把自己显明给我们，
In other words, if God does not reveal himself to us,
上帝自己没有启示给我们，
If he does not reveal himself,
永远没有办法明白神是谁。
Forever, we will not be able to know who he is.
良心的功用也是如此。
This is the function of the conscience.
因为人是按照上帝的形象样式造的。
Because we have been made in his image and likeness.
上帝是圣洁的上帝。
God is holy.
所以上帝把圣洁的要求的可能性的功用放在我们里面。
And so he has placed in us the potential of holiness.
所以人有一个要求。
Therefore there is a demand in us.
我们要过圣洁的生活。
To say that we need to live holy lives.
我们以圣洁为尊贵的事。
We understand holiness as honorable.
以圣洁为我们道德的高的理想。
We understand holiness as the ideal in our ethical life.
当我们的心洁净的时候，
So when our heart is pure,
我们就没有责备自己。
We will not accuse ourselves.
当行为洁净的时候，
When the things we do is holy,
我们没有人知道也会自我安慰。
We will have consolation for ourselves.
当我们做错事的时候，
But when we do the wrong things,
我们的肮脏的思想，我们的亏欠的良心，我们有罪恶的行为。
When we do the wrong things in thought and in deeds,
我们就自己责备自己，我们会很难过。
We will accuse ourselves and we will feel very sad.
这就是神形象在圣洁这方面所显明出来的事情。
This is how we see the image of God in the matter of holiness.
是良心与我们同知。
The conscience know together with us.
良心也左右我们行为应当有的标准。
The conscience also direct our actions.
那么我刚才说的良心不受贿赂。
Earlier I said that the conscience cannot be bribed.
良心会受压制。
But it can be suppressed.
是什么意思呢？
What does this
mean? 良心的功用，因为我们不尊重它，慢慢慢慢它就迟钝下去了。
The functions can become more and more numb because we do not honor it.
我十岁到十二岁那两年。
From the time I was 10 to 12.
我们家里有一只猫 ，IQ 特别高。
We had a cat in the house with a high IQ.
我知道今天还很想念它。
Till today I remember the cat.
会它老的不知道跑到哪里去死，我到今天还不知道。
But the cat disappeared when he was old.
这只猫成为那个时候我很好的同伴。
But the cat became a good pet.
而且最奇怪的事情。
The strangest thing was,
他每天七点早五早五分的时候，一定叫我们兄弟起床去上课。
The cat will wake us up 5 minutes to 7 every morning.
差不多都有那个时间。
Always the same time.
这我如果说呢，我们身体里面有个 biological clock， 我告诉你，我的猫真的是 biological clock.
My cat had a biological clock.
他七点早几分就跑到我们的床边来，喵喵喵，把你叫到醒，不然他不停。
Before 7, the cat will wake all of us up.
所以我们差不多上课的都没有死到的。
And so we never got late in school.
后来这只猫不知道跑到哪里去死以后呢？
But after the cat disappeared and died,
我们就常常爬不起来了。
We all become late.
那怎么办呢？
What will we do?
后来我妈妈给我买了一个闹钟。
And my mother bought a
那个闹钟是你要转它，它才闹，你不转它不闹。
At that time, my alarm clock was mechanical.
你服务它，它就服务你，这个叫做公益。
You got to serve the alarm clock and winding it up.
后来那个钟后来坏了。
But the clock spoiled.
后来我们再打得到一个闹钟。
Then we got another one.
这个闹钟是后来我永远没有找到这样好的。
I have not found a better one since.
它会一直叫，一直叫。
It will keep ringing.
但是跟猫不同的地方。
But the difference between that and the cat.
猫叫到你醒。
Is that the cat will wake you up.
它呢，叫到发条完了，它就停。
But the alarm clock will stop when it stops
winding. 所以我们把它转了以后呢，
After you wind it up,
你调打七点少五分。
If you put 5 minutes before 7,
那么到准时的时候
，at the right time，
叮，它就叫了。
It will ring。
叫完了你不起来
，if you do not wake up，
半分钟以后
，half a minute later，
叮，又再叫了。
It will ring again。
你还不起来
，if you refuse to wake up，
半分钟以后呢
，half a minute later，
叮
，it will ring again。
再不起来
，if you refuse to wake up，
半分钟以后，它就叮，再不起来，再半分钟以后
，half a minute later，
叮，就停了。
It will stop。
那一共会叫5次。
5 times.
那么就在2分钟半里面
Within two and a half minutes,
他叫五次
he will call you
叫到第五次
by the fifth time,
他的责任完了
he has fulfilled his
responsibility. 那你起来不起来呢
Whether you wake up or not,
叫五次还不起来是不是猪啊
I woke up, you fight down like a pig.
后来我告诉我们真正到了第五次不起来
and indeed, we start
为什么呢
Why?
因为第一次叫的时候
the first time,
你说、啊、很累再睡一觉反正他会叫第二次
tired, for the second
第二次叫的时候
when the second
你说等一等他会再叫第三次
you know the third ring will come.
第三次再叫的时候
the third ring.
你说还叫第四次
There will be a fourth ring.
但是第五次叫的时候
the fifth ring.
你说这个大概第三次吧
you think maybe it's the third ring.
大概还有两次嘛
maybe two more.
他说我不管你去死了
the alarm clock will not care.
他就不再叫了
he will stop ringing.
他叫了五次你就不起来了
five times.
良心也是如此
is this the way we've got conscience?
良心警戒你
the conscience will warn you.
良心劝告你
will persuade you.
良心给你闪红灯
to give you the red light.
良心对你说不要做
it tell you no.
你一次拒绝
if you refuse once.
两次拒绝
The second time,
三次拒绝
the third time,
久久以后呢
After a long while,
你的良心就像已经没有发条动力的这个闹钟不再响了
Your conscience will become like this alarm clock that is no longer winding
这就是圣经所讲的
This is what the Bible says
上帝的愤怒从天上降临在那些不义的人身上
The wrath of God is upon those who are unrighteous
就是行不义不虔来压制真理的人
Those who are unrighteous and suppress the truth.
中文和本的翻译是不准确的。
The Chinese translation is not too
accurate. 因为他说那抵挡真理的人。
Because he talk about those who are opposed to the truth.
希腊文原来的意思不是抵挡真理，是压制真理。
But in the original Greek, it's the suppress of the truth.
真理冒出生命来的时候。
When the truth calls us,
你把它压下去。
If you suppress it,
再讲话的时候。
When he speaks
你再把它压下去。
When you suppress again,
当人用这样的态度。对待良心的责任功用的时候
When we treat our conscience with such an attitude,
神说你是压制真理的人
God said you are a person who suppress the truth
所以将人被造的时候已经有了真理的声音被放在我们的里面
Because when we are created we already have the voice of the truth in us
真理的声音就是上帝的代表
And this voice is the representation of God
就是上帝的见证人
It is the witness of God
所以当你看见外在的印记
So when you see a mark that is exterior,
在看到里面的印记的时候
and then the internal witness,
你一定会产生最基本的信心出来
you will have the most fundamental faith.
那个真理的印证就成为信心的根基
and then the mark of this conscience become the foundation of your faith.
所以你虽然不是一个基督徒
so maybe you are not a Christian.
你会从内心深处我信上帝
Deep in your heart, you will say, I believe in God.
这位上帝是谁？我虽然不知道。
Perhaps I do not know this God.
至少相信他是存在的。
But at least I know he exists.
因为借着所造之物。
By all that has been created. 借
着里面的声音。
By the voice that's inside of me.
我知道神的永恒。
I know of his eternity.
神的神性。
I know of his divinity.
神的智慧。
I know his wisdom.
神创造中间的奥秘。
I know the mystery of his creation.
至少存在的上帝是我的信仰。
And so I at least would have faith that God exists.
前几天报纸登一个事情。
A few days ago there was a report in the
newspaper. 美国到现在还是有差不多90%的人相信上帝。
In America, still 90% of people believe in God.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为这是一件人没有办法消灭的印证。
It is something that we cannot extinguish.
不是借着我的所谓科学证明去证明上帝，因为科学没有资格牵涉到证明上帝这个课题里面来。
It is not that we can prove God scientifically because science is not worthy to prove God.
还是因为上帝把这个印记放在我们的里面。
But because God placed this mark inside of us.
所以一个智慧的人不是压制良心的人。
A wise person would not suppress the conscience.
一个智慧人是要倾听良心的印证跟声音的人。
A wise person would listen carefully to the conscience.
一个人对心里面的声音没有顺从。
When we do not obey the voice within us,
他会过一个不像人而像禽兽一样的生活。
We will live a life as if we are an animal.
当一个人对良心的责备有所回应的时候
，But when we respond to the accusation of our conscience,
他会过一个比较像人的生活。
He will live a life that is more like a human being.
人是按照上帝的形象样式而被造的。
Because we have been made in the image and likeness of God.
我想这点我们已经交代清楚了。
After we finish on this,
今天我们也从另外一角度看上帝的形象。
We want to see the image of God from yet another angle.
圣经告诉我们，我们的上帝是公义的上帝。
The Bible tells us that our God is a righteous God.
当上帝按照自己的形象造人的时候
，And so when He made man in His image,
他就把义的要求放在我们里面。
He has given us the demands of righteousness.
把公义的敏感性放在我们里面。
That we will have a sensitivity towards righteousness.
所以人跟动物就完全不一样了。
In this manner, we are different from the animals.
公义的功用是哪种性质呢？
The righteous function, what is it?
如果你说圣洁的功用是道德的本性
，If you say that holiness can be seen in morality,
那么公义的功用就是律法的本性。
Righteousness then is expressed in laws,
就是法律的诉求。
In legal matters,
这就是人之所以伟人的另外一个方面。
This is another aspect of humanity.
因为我们有神的形象
，because we have the image of God.
所以我们里面有法律功能的要求
，and so there is a legal demands within us.
我们的公义的标准
，there is a standard for righteousness.
这样有人的社会
，whenever there's human being,
一定有法院的存在
，there will be a court of law.
有人的社会
，wherever there's
一定有法官的需要
，there will be a need for judges.
有人的政府
，our government,
一定有法律的这个宪法。
And surely is constrained by the laws.
这些的 constitution, 这些的 law, 这些的 lawyer, 这些的 court 的存在什么意思呢？
What does it mean to have lawyers, judges, constitution, and court?
表示人是尊严的。
It means that we are honorable.
那么我们都知道法院都是为公义而被设立的。
We all know that the court of law is for righteousness.
后来我们的经验也告诉我们，法院是全世界最不公义的地方。
Our experiences also say that the courts could be the most unlawful.
法官不法律是为公义献身给百人民的。
The judges are to serve the people because of the law.
但很多的法官，你看见钱，公的变成不公，不公的变成公。
But many judges can be bought by money.
所以法律就变成不能逃避的罪恶的玷污。
And then laws therefore are stained by sin.
我们从这里很严肃去思想人的堕落跟人应当尽的责任是什么。
From here we can see the matters relating to the fall of man and his responsibility.
当我们提到圣洁的神性以及人道德的责任的时候
，When we talk about a holy God and our responsibility in morality,
我们比较被困在个人在神面前的道德问题。
We are referring to our individual ethics towards God.
当我们提到公义的时候
，But when we talk about righteousness,
这就不局限在个人与神之间存在的问题而已。
We are not constrained to individual relationship between a man and a God.
更多牵涉到社会责任的问题了。
It goes into social responsibility.
那么公义的要求是怎样起来的呢
？Where do we get this demand for righteousness?
神一造人的时候就放在人的里面的。
This is something God has placed in us when He created us.
这是人有神形象一个很重要的一个层面。
A very important mark of the image of God.
那么你说公义的要求是不是教义的果效呢
？Is righteous demand a result of education?
如果你读着 Sigmund Freud,
if you study Sigmund Freud,
那你就感觉到他的良心产生论是非常非基督教的。
You will see that his theory of the conscience is very unchristian.
他说良心怎么产生出来呢
？Sigmund Freud, when talking about the conscience,
良心是教义的果效。
Says that conscience comes from education.
人一直用教育下一代就产生了良心的功用了。
Because we keep educating the next generation, they have the conscience.
这是一件非常没有道理的事情。
This is something very unreasonable.
我们今天不专解释这个事情。
We will not go into
details. 但是我告诉你，公义的要求。
But righteous demands.
你也可以制造理论是是教育的果效。
You can also assume that it comes from education.
事实证明不是如此。
But the fact proved that it is not the case.
一个人在什么时候开始有公义的诉求呢？
When do we begin to have righteous demands?
我从很久以前就思想这个问题。
I've been thinking of this from many years ago.
我发现每一个小小的婴孩都有这种要求。
And I discovered that even a small baby has such a demand.
所以这个要求呢是与生俱来的。
Something that instinctively we all have.
孩子跟他妈妈在一起的时候
，When an infant is with the mother,
几乎没有办法分辨出他的母亲是美丽或者是难看。
The infant cannot tell whether the mother is pretty or ugly.
每一个 baby 都很满意他妈妈，认为他妈妈是世界最漂亮的人。
Every infant would think that the mother is the most beautiful in the world.
没有孩子嫌妈妈不好看就跑到隔壁做人家的孩子。
There are no children that will say that the mother is ugly and so go look for another mother.
你要看见一个孩子看看妈妈不好看，他看隔壁的妈妈更好看，他就跑去不回来的吗？
Have you seen a child that will choose between mothers based on beauty?
可能有，我没有看过就是。
Perhaps there is, but I've never met one.
可能有，就是你这个怪人，我不知道。
Maybe you are the person.
但孩子不嫌父母的美丑。
But the child will not judge the parents based on their exterior.
孩子也不嫌父母的富贫。
And also whether parents are rich or poor.
我有时看见乞丐婆坐在那里，几个孩子在她的身边，黏着她，睡在她的大腿的上面，就等候她妈妈讨钱供应他们生活。
Sometimes I look at a beggar woman with lots of children, and they all cling on to the mother.
我为这种孩子生在这种人下面，受这种的待遇，我感到这些孩子是很可怜的。
And I feel very sad for all these children for the circumstances they are in.
但我不能否认。
But I cannot deny.
他们还是爱他们的妈妈。
They still love their mother.
他们还是满足于贫穷的妈妈对他们的照顾。
And they are satisfied with the mother for taking care of them, even in poverty.
但是我发现有一件事情是很不一样的。
But I discovered something quite different.
孩子不嫌父母的面貌。
The children will not look at the parents and judge their looks.
孩子不嫌父母的境遇。
Nor will they judge them based on the circumstances.
但是孩子非常敏感的父母是不是公平。
But they are very sensitive towards whether the parents have been fair.
妈妈你好看不好看我不管你。
I don't quite care if mother you're pretty or not.
你有钱没有钱我不管你。
Or whether you are rich or not.
但是你对哥哥比较好对我不好我一定气你的。
But I will get angry if you are biased towards my brother.
这个人性到底什么时候开始有公义的诉求一个很好的一个这个例子。
It is a very good illustration as to the start of righteous demand.
当小小的孩子看见你对他不公的时候
，When a young child realizes that you are not fair,
他根本没有学言
，They may not be able to speak.
他们根本没有学语
，I haven't learned the languages.
他根本不知道怎么样表达他心中对你不满意。
Maybe the child will not know how to verbally express his satisfaction.
但是他生命的窗，他的眼光对你的凝视的时候，已经把他心中的不满表现无疑了。
But they will express themselves by the very way they look at you.
孩子很难原谅父母对兄弟之间不公义的这种行为。
It's very difficult for a child to forgive the parents when they are biased towards the siblings.
所以你们做父母或者预备做父母的人，你一定要懂得这是人性一个最基本的要求。
And so as parents or when you're preparing for parenthood, you must realize this as an important thing.
多少的家庭破裂。
Many families went into disasters.
多少的家庭悲剧。
Many tragedies in families.
是从偏爱跟不公义产生出来的副作用。
Have come about because of the negative impact of biased treatment.
这就产生了人间的地狱。
And this create hell on earth.
因为不公义的作为。
Because of unrighteous acts.
制造了存在与存在之间的仇恨。
It creates hatred between existence and existence.
这是很可怕的事情。
Something very horrifying.
看见圣经给我们一个很重要的一个例子。
The Bible gave us a very important example.
这个雅各一共生了十二个儿子。
And Jacob had 12 children.
但他偏偏只有爱第十一个。
But he loved the 11.
就是有舍。
And that was Joseph.
他给有舍特别穿彩衣。
So he made a coat of many colors for Joseph.
给其他的兄弟穿普通的没有颜色的衣服。
But the other brothers had common clothing.
所以这个被宠爱的孩子。
And this child that has been treated well.
变成兄弟的眼中钉了。
Became an enemy for the rest of his siblings.
最后猛爱的人变成最受亏的人。
And the person he loved most had the most harm done.
所以你能说父母是用爱去害他吗？
So with love, you can't harm a child.
中文的爱跟害就差一个 H 在前面，我就没有就是了。
The Chinese word between love and hatred pretty similar.
所以结果十个兄弟就把这个弟弟把他卖掉。
And so the 10 brothers got together and sold this wife.
卖掉以后就杀了一只羊。
And then he did kill a lamb.
把这血涂在这个彩衣的上面。
And they spilled the blood on the coat of many colors.
这件满着血的衣服带回家来。
And brought the coat back to the father.
对这不公义的爸爸说。
To say to the unrighteous father.
我们在野地找到你所最爱的孩子的这件充满血染着的衣服。
We We have found this code in the wilderness.
父亲说什么事?
The father asked,
what happened?
Where is my son? Why did you just bring back the coat? They said, I don't know.
很可能他被狼吃掉了,
maybe he is devoured by the
很可能他给狮子撕破,
maybe the lions ran after him.
变成狮子肚子里面的食物了,
and become food for the lions. We only have this blood soap.
他父亲捶胸顿足嚎啕大哭,
and the father wailed loudly.
原来这个孩子没有死,
but the son was not dead.
这个孩子骗爸爸, 多聪明的爸爸, 都很难逃脱孩子的欺骗,
and the children were just deceiving the father.
这个不是骗一天,
not for one day,
骗几十年,
but for many decades.
这到有一天, 雅各亲眼看见约瑟还在, 而且成为这个埃及的宰相的时候,
until one day Jacob saw that Joseph was still living and became prime minister.
白发苍苍,
he was already very old.
已经过一个没有约瑟的孤苦伶仃痛苦的生活, 好几十年的日子,
he had lived decades without Joseph.
为什么呢?
Why?
因为不公义,
because he was not fair.
因为偏待,
he was biased.
所以这不公义是违背人性的,
and this is against humanity.
我们很小的时候,
when we are still very young,
我们对父母的不公义, 我们
we feel greatly grieved when our father and mother is not
fair.
When we study,
我们的老师对待学生不公义,
when our teachers are unfair, we feel very angry.
我们长大的时候,
and when we are grown,
我们看见社会很多不公义的事情,
when we see injustices in the society, we feel angry.
那么这些东西就变成对法律有所诉求了,
all these things give us demands from the legal aspects.
我们改变法律的制度,
we want to change our legal system.
在中国历史中间,
in Chinese history,
多少次变法, 变法就是中国特有的名词,
there is this idea of reformation, legal reformation.
这个就是呢, 政府里面有一些人出来改变宪章, 改变整个治理的法度的问题,
this happened when government officials think that they want to change the constitution or the legal system.
这表示人有公义的要求,
it means that we demand fairness.
表示人的良心里面有义的观念,
that in our conscience there is the concept of righteousness.
那么公义是很需要的,
it is right to be just.
公义也是很重要的,
it is also very important.
所以公义就可能产生了很可怕的事情,
and justice can become something very frightening.
比如说革命的产生,
for example, revolution,
就是集体的穷人对义要求产生了极端的回应,
come about when there's extreme demand by a masses.
但革命一产生的时候,
but when revolution comes,
许多的人头落地, 血流成河,
many people will be killed.
这是公义的一个表彰,
but this is a manifestation of justice.
人之所以有公义的要求,
the reason why we demand justice,
是因为人是按照上帝的形象样式造,
it is because we have been made in the image and likeness of God.
一个人对公义的要求的时候, 常常基于不义的自私,
but very often this demand for justice comes from selfishness.
当你回头想起你这一生愤愤不平, 求公义的那些事件的时候,
when you think about your life, the many occasions when you demand justice,
你会发现这些事不临到你, 你是不管的,
you will find that if it is not your problem, you wouldn't care.
但当你受不公义的对待的时候, 你就暴跳如雷了,
but when you are unjustly treated, then you become really affected.
所以别人受不公义的对待,
when there is injustice done to other people,
你视若无睹,
you probably couldn't care less.
别人受不公义的对待,
when people are unjustly treated,
你完全没有回应,
you would not respond.
与你无干,
you got nothing to do with you.
等到你受了不公义对待的, 你马上暴跳如雷起来,
but when you are unjustly treated, you immediately respond.
所以这是以不义的动机去处理不义的环境,
this come about because your motive is unrighteous in an unrighteous situation.
公义的事情在整个文化中, 几乎是一个绝对不可能产生果效的一个理想,
and so justice is an ideal that almost cannot be reached.
我们每个人都是如此,
this is the case for all of us.
当我们看见社会不公的时候,
when we see social injustices,
我们想与我没有关系不必管它了,
we will say, well, this got nothing to do with me.
但是当轮到我们自己的时候,
but when we are suffering ourselves,
我们马上好像非常很义气饱满, 见义勇为挺身而出来解救别人,
immediately we seem to be the savior of the entire world.
结果不是如此。
But in the end, this was not the case.
在四十年前
，40 years ago，
马哈蒂尔还年轻的时候
，when Mahathir was still young，
写了一本书叫做《马来人的困境》。
He wrote a book entitled The Dilemma, The Malay Dilemma.
有谁谁看过这本书，请举手。
Those who read the book, raise your hand.
我看过这本书。
I have read this book.
我四十多年以后
，40 years later，
我看见真正为这个理想奋斗得到益处的是马哈蒂尔跟他的家庭，不是整个马来族。
I find that it is not the Malay race that has benefited from this writing, but his own family.
所以我们看见许多人要处理不义的事情的时候
，So we see that whenever injustices occur,
就用自己的不义去作为他理想。
We use our own injustice as our ideal.
也用自己的益处作为他奋斗的目标。
And then we fight for our own purposes.
还有另外一些人处理不义的事情的时候
，There's another group of people when they look at injustice.
他们只能用贫穷的义解决问题，不能用富足的义来解决问题。
They will solve problem with the righteousness of the poor instead of the righteousness of the rich.
中国有史以来最注重这一方面的是毛泽东。
And in the Chinese history, Mao Zedong is a good representation.
毛泽东就一定要把马克思请到中国来做主人。
He wanted to invite Karl Marx to China.
然后把孔子拉下来，把他当作比较次要的人。
And to replace Confucius with him.
结果呢，马克思到了中国以后
，After Karl Marx came to China,
中国变成很富有、很平均的公益的国家嘛。
Did China become a place where everybody become rich and just?
不是的。
No.
所以结果我们看见共产主义崇高的理想，最后达到全民贫穷的平均，不是全民富有的平均。
And you see that the idealism of communism brought about common poverty rather than common wealth.
所以这个义的诉求
，And so the demand for justice
变成军穷而不是军富
，resulted in a poverty all over the place.
所以需要再改革过来。
And so you need another revolution.
那么这件事到底是不是一个不能达到的事情呢
？So can this matter become something that is impossible?
福音派的人注重个人悔改的事情。
The evangelicals will place emphasis on individual repentance.
社福音、社会福音，福音派的人注重社会改革的问题。
But the liberals and those who preach social gospel talk about social changes.
无论是个人，无论是社会。
Whether it's individual or the society,
都是要解决人的问题。
All must solve the fundamental human problem.
人的不义的问题。
The problem of unrighteousness.
是很难处理的一个问题。
So it is a difficult problem to solve.
前几天我到我们建筑的工地里面去。
A few days ago, I went to our building site.
因为最近我心里比较有些压力。
I have some pressure lately.
因为我一生到处去布道，从来没有去募捐。
In my life, I have been preaching everywhere, but I have not done fundraising.
我美国跑了差不多90次了。
I've been to America more than 90 times.
我单单在美洲超过105个城市布道过。
I have preached the gospel in more than 105 cities in America.
就是去讲道回来。
I will just preach and I'll come home.
但现在建这个大教会的时候。
But now that we are building a large church.
我发现这个费用大到一个地步。
I discovered that it costs so much money.
几乎已经不是我们的能力所能承担。
That probably is within beyond our means.
我又绝对不募捐。
But I will not go into fundraising.
因为我已经侍奉主差不多五十年了。
I have served the Lord for almost 50 years.
我一定走这条道。
I will insist in this.
所以我到工地去看的时候呢。
But when I went to the construction site,
我发现这样大的地方在印尼建，其实比在美国、在新加坡建可能便宜10倍到20倍那么多。
I realized that building there is maybe 10 to 20 times cheaper than in Singapore or America.
如果在你们这个城市建这个礼拜堂的话
，If we were to build this church in this city,
可能要我们的15倍的价钱。
Maybe it will cost 15 times more than in Indonesia.
这样只在印尼可以建这么大的礼拜堂。
Only in Indonesia can we build such a large church.
那个礼拜堂要比这个礼拜堂大4倍半。
4.5 times larger than this place.
而且加上30多个课室。
There will be 30 over classrooms.
再加上另外副堂坐1500人。
And then a site sanctuary that can seat
1,500. 再加上地下700个停车位。
A basement or car park for 700 cars.
再加上一个8层楼的神学院。
A seminary that has 8 stories.
那么还有一个音乐厅比这个大。
A music concert hall larger than this place.
还有一个博物馆2层楼。
A 2-story museum.
全部费用大得不得了。
great expenses. 那
我上个礼拜五到工地去的时候
，Last Friday when I went to the construction site，
看见1500根的柱子做地基的，已经差不多998根已经种下去了。
And I see that they have already planted 998 pillars in the ground.
我绕一圈大概400多公尺。
I had to go one round about 400 meters.
看到有一些工人正在打断柱子。
I saw some workers actually breaking the pillars.
我就问为什么要打断柱子呢
？And I asked why are you breaking it up?
他们说太长了。
They say it's too long.
每一个柱子长了2公尺、1公尺半、2公尺半，很不整齐的。
And the pillars are different height.
我说为什么不要定刚刚好的呢？
And I asked, why do you not order the right length?
不可以的。
They say you cannot do that.
打到地下面的时候
，Because as you pile it,
有的比较硬的，有的比较软，要打到不能再打下去的根基才会稳定。
You got to hit it all the way down when it is stable and the ground condition is
stable. 那么下面是不平的
，Because it is not even below.
所以你一定要做长的柱子。
So the pillar must be longer.
只可过长，不可太短。
It should be longer than required instead of shorter.
为什么呢
？Why？
因为太短埋到里面以后就没有办法再接上去，这个以后就不坚固了。
If it is shorter, you will miss the ground surface.
太长你把它打断了。
When it's too long,
留一些钢筋存在。
You can still break it.
再连钢筋再建上去的时候就有力量了。
And then you can join the steel together.
哇，我看他们太辛苦了。
But it was hard work.
我说为什么用好的工具用电锯把它打断呢？
I say, why don't you use an electric saw?
他说用手用铁锤一个一个敲，把那个钢筋水泥的柱子一个一个打断。
Instead of manually hitting the pillar.
他说用机器敲的时候会震动，以后呢地基又不稳了。
They say if you use a machinery, then it will break the foundation.
所以最好就用人工这样用铁锤一个一个敲。
The best way is to manually using a hammer and hammer it.
我现在请你把这个钢筋把它锯掉，我给你2块钱，你要不要？
那我 give you $2 to cut away this.
你要不要？
Will you
哇，
do this?
你都拿锯子，锯子才2块钱，你不要
？You say no, it's hard work. I'm sawing it like crazy.
如果我叫你打断一个钢筋水泥的柱子
，If I ask you to break a cement steel reinforced,
4个人从4个角度做。
Four person, four different angle.
要做几个钟头，做半天。
You will have to spend half a day.
打掉一个柱子。
To break one pillar.
那个已经不能用了。
And then they cannot use that anymore.
搬到卡车去把它带走。
You got to transport it to the truck to get it off.
你知道工钱多少
？You know how much are they paid?
我吓了一跳。
I was shocked.
4个人做半天。
Four person for half a day.
工钱才这边7块钱。
They are paid $7.
打断一个柱子。
To break one pillar.
后来我问一个工程师，中国的价钱跟这里哪里高？他说差不多一样。
I ask him in China, is it the same? The engineer says same price.
所以那些乡下来做苦工的人呢
？So those who come from the villages to work in hard labor,
收入是低到一个只能 survive, 只能生活的地步。
They have a pay that is low enough only for them to survive.
所以你现在想你的薪水多少？你知道你是大富翁了。
So now looking at your pay, you know you're very rich indeed.
他们晚上睡在哪里啊
？In the night, where do they sleep?
现在那个工地里面做工的有300多个人。
There are 300 over people working there.
没有替他们预备床。
There's no bed for them.
没有工人宿舍。
There is no hostel.
他们就工地这里睡那里睡。
They will just sleep anywhere they can.
怪不得会这么便宜了。
That's why it's so cheap.
那么如果他不做呢
？If they do not want to do this,
另外一批更穷的人就来做了。
There will be poorer people to take over.
这就是第三世界的情形。
This is a situation in the third world.
所以现在在德国
，Now in Germany,
没有人要做工人了。
No one want to do manual labor.
就土耳其人去做。
So the Turkish people
在美国
，in America,
美国受高等教育的不要做工人的。
Those who are educated do not want to do manual labor.
墨西哥跟 Puerto Rico 的人去做。
The Mexican and the Puerto Ricans.
从前新加坡人建楼自己做。
In the past, Singaporeans will build their
own. 慢慢就叫马来人做，你们就不做。
Now the Malays will be doing this.
以后马来人不做，他们做自己的。
And then later, the Malays will not do this.
那么马来人做，结果他们就不做。
They will not do in their own
country. 就印尼人去做。
Indonesians will go there.
几万个印尼人跑到马来西亚去做。
And so tens of thousands of Indonesians go to Malaysia.
做到差不多做完了，全部把他赶走，因为你们是非法的劳工。
After the thing is done, they are all traced back as illegal immigrants.
所以有一次，一个国会的副会长跟我一同坐在飞机上。
And once I was traveling with the Vice Speaker of the House of the Parliament.
我说呢，你这次来做什么的
？I ask him, what are you doing here?
他说，总统派我来跟马来西亚政府交涉。
He says that I came in the order of the president.
那么唐牧师你来做什么的
？What about you, Dr. Tong?
我说我来这里讲道的。
I said I came to preach.
我再问他你交涉什么事情
？And I ask him what matter are you dealing with?
马来西亚的移民厅对印尼非法劳工太无理太粗暴了。
He says that the immigration department of Malaysia is too rude to Indonesian immigrants.
被勒索、被监禁、被驱逐。
They have been blackmailed, they have been jailed, they have been chased away.
那我问他，你怎么样交涉呢？
And I ask him, then how do you deal with them?
我对马哈蒂尔跟他们最重要的人讲一句话。
And I said to Mahathir and those people who are most important,
你们不要太凶。
Do not be too fierce to us.
你要知道你们的双塔世界最高的楼是20,000个印尼非法劳工替你建成功的。
You must remember that your Petronas Tower is built by 20,000 Indonesian illegal immigrants.
你们东南亚最漂亮的这个飞机场是印尼几万非法劳工替你做成功的。
And your most beautiful airport has been done by tens of thousands of illegal Indonesians.
你需要他们的时候你对他好一点，现在不需要了，非法劳工滚，就对他们这么粗暴。我们印尼政府一定会记得你这样没有人道。
We will remember you when you are so unjust towards our people. You need them, you want them, you don't need them, you kick them out.
马来西亚对印尼是又怕又爱的。
So Malaysians love and also hate the Indonesians.
全世界只有这两个国家讲同一种语言，没有第三个国家。
In the entire world, only these two countries speak this language.
但是全印尼人都跑到那边，马来西亚就会沉下去了。
But if all the Indonesians go to Malaysia, it will sink.
无论如何，总要客气一点点。
So they have to be careful.
那么现在马来人不要印尼人做了。
But now the Malaysians,
买人自己又不要做。那么劳工问题怎么样呢？
So what about this labor?
由 Bangladesh 的人来做。
They come from Bangladesh.
所以这样穷的一直穷。
So the poor will continue to be poor.
有钱的越来越有钱。
The rich will become richer.
世界不公义的问题是很难解决的。
Social injustices is difficult to solve.
今天所谓中国很富有啦。
We say that China is very rich today.
中国的储备金是全世界最多的啦。
The Chinese had the greatest savings.
在这些好听的话语的后面。
But behind all these beautiful languages,
中国在贫穷线下过挣扎为生的穷人也是全世界最多的。
Chinese have the most people living below the poverty line.
所以我今天把这个问题提出来。
And so today I raise this question.
告诉大家，我们既然按照上帝的形象样式做的，公义的问题到底要怎样处理呢？
To ask us what we will do with questions of injustices since we are made in the image of God.
圣经是不是叫我们走勉强的、强迫性的共产主义呢？
Did the Bible tell us that we should force communism upon all?
圣经是不是赞成了我们走极端的资本主义呢？不是的。
Or should we go for extreme capitalism?
那么圣经是不是告诉我们应当注重整个全人类的幸福的问题呢？
Did the Bible tell us to care about the rest of the world?
是的。
The answer is yes.
所以有很多在社会不平的事情上尽力的神学思想家，在历史历代中间都出现过。
And in all generations, there are theologians that work hard to right social wrongs.
是在以马克思建立共产主义理论的同期。
In the same era of Karl Marx.
英国就有 Morris, 有 Kingsley, 还有一些的思想家出现。
There are the emergence of some thinkers in England like Morris and Kingsley.
Kingsley 讲一句话语。
Kingsley said,
基督徒不要礼拜天在礼拜堂麻醉自己，拜一到拜六就继续不断犯罪或不公义的生活。
And Christians should not numb themselves in the church on Sunday and still sin for the rest of the days.
这句话在一本书里面被放在大英博物馆里面。
This is found in a book that is in the British Museum.
大概在185几年的时候
，In 1850s，
有一个叫做马克思人在大英博物馆读书，看到这句话。
A person by the name of Karl Marx found this book in the British Museum.
马克思就把这句话放在他的《资本论》里面说，宗教是人民的鸦片，是偷来的。这句话是偷来的。
And so Karl Marx inferred that religion is the opiate of the masses.
这位从谁哪里来的呢？
Where did this word phrase come from?
Kingsley, K-I-N-G-L-S-L-E-Y.
It came from the thinker Kingsley.
这个人所写的书。
The books Kingsley wrote.
里面是刺激基督徒不要用宗教麻醉自己。
The purpose of which was to stimulate the Christian not to live a self-deceiving life.
马克思把这句话改头换面，变成一个全世界受轰动的理论：宗教是人民的鸦片。
And Karl Marx modified the sentence to say that religion is the opiate of the masses.
共产主义在马克思的手下建立了很大的这个金融或者这个经济的理论。
And communism becomes a big system of economy under Karl Marx.
后来有许多的人蠢蠢一动，把他的理论作为改革社会不公义的经济学的基础。
And many people use his theory as the foundation to right social wrongs.
最后是什么呢？
In the end,
凡是接受马克思 马克思经济理论的国家一定经济破产。
All countries that accept communism by Karl Marx will go into bankruptcy.
证明这个方法论产生的公义又是行不通的事情。
To prove that the justice from this method would not work.
所以这件事继续不断在人类社会中间变得很难解决的问题。
And so social injustices become a completely difficult problem to solve.
人有公义的本性。
We have the nature of justice.
人有公义的要求。
We demand justice.
但是当我们看见社会不义的时候，我们常常以自我在不义中间的极端的这个本性，要去处理社会不义的问题。
And we often want to solve this problem by our own unrighteous motive.
所以就我们没有办法使自己逃脱瞎眼带领我们走一条没有办法解决的道路的这个方法论。
And we cannot escape that from the method where the blind will lead the blind.
在希腊的神话里面
，In Greek mythology，
执行公义的神，他一定眼睛要被弄瞎。
The goddess of justice must be blind.
所以公义的神是用一个布把眼睛包起来的。
And so the goddess of justice has a blind.
手中拿着一个天平。
And then she has a
balance. 不可以看是谁。他要完全盲目才能执行公义。
She is blinded so that she is not biased towards the people.
这个很伟大的启示。
This is a great revelation.
因为许多人看到有钱的这边的时候，他嘴巴犯罪不烂之舌就乱翻来翻去了。
Because whenever we see the spot the rich, our tongue will become loose.
所以今天的律师
，the lawyers today，
今天的法官
，the judges today，
今天的最高法院
，in the highest court，
常常是最不公义的一个工具。
Often become the tools of injustice.
没有办法用公正的态度处理义的问题。
Very often they do not have the right attitude towards justice.
公义到底是什么呢
？What then is justice?
我听说有这样的一件事情。
I have heard this before.
就是有一次呢，第一次这个发生的这个事是从前历史没有过的。
The first time it happened in history.
就是提琴国际演奏国际比赛大会的时候。
That when there was an international competition for violin,
所有的评审官都被幕把它遮盖起来。
All the judges has to be behind a curtain.
所以后面比赛的人是谁，没有一个人知道。
And no one is able to recognize the players.
连次序也不告诉他们。
They also were not told the correct order.
就听他们拉提琴完了就评分数。
And the judges were asked to give judgment.
一个一个评，一个一个评。
One by one,
根本不知道第几个是谁
they would not know who this
也不知道他是哪一国来的代表
from which country,
根本不知道他几岁
or how old,
也不知道他是男是女
male or female,
所以就是单单凭声音产生的艺术给他定分数
judgment was based solely on the audio perception
等到评出来的时候
when the results came out
你发现这个人是中国人的时候
They discovered that the winner was a Chinese.
那是第一次中国人在国际拿到第一名的。
The first time a Chinese was a champion.
有这样发生的事情。
This actually happened.
但是如果幕是打开的话呢
？But if you open up the curtain,
那看你这个黑头发、黄皮肤的，就给你48分。
You are Chinese, you get 48 marks.
给你是从德国来的，就给你84分。
In German, we get 94 marks.
那个时候，公益的本质已经受了民族主义。受了喜爱跟厌恶的对象所影响
And justice then will be stained by nationalism and also bias.
所以我感到希腊人很聪明
And so I think the Greeks are very intelligent.
执行公义的法官眼睛要被盖起来
The goddess of justice is blinded.
还有一次听说有这样一个故事
And I also heard another story.
当休曼要介绍肖邦的时候
When Schumann was about to introduce Chopin,
他有什么办法呢
？How did he introduce?
他有一次演奏了一半的时候，灯就暗起来了。
Once in his performance, he dimmed all the lights.
暗到一个地步的时候呢
？When the light was so dark,
听众只听见钢琴的声音，不知道谁在上面弹琴。
The audience could hear the piano, but couldn't see the pianist.
暗到最暗最暗的时候呢
？When it was at its darkest,
钢琴就停下来。
The piano stopped.
另外一张就开始。
Another piece of music started.
哇，他一直欣赏的最满意的时候。忽然间灯光亮起来，发现不是休曼，是休邦在弹。
When the light came on, they discovered it was Chopin who was playing.
这样一个新的人才就被抬出来了。
And a new star was born.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹
，Dear brothers and sisters,
这些都是关于公义的事情。
These are related to justice.
那么圣经告诉我们，上帝是公义的。
The Bible tells us that God is just.
这是古代宗教里面所有的神没有的本质。
This is something which all ancient religion does not have.
如果你注意伟大的宗教，为什么只产生在亚洲，不会产生在欧洲？
Great religions are produced in Asia and not in Europe.
那你就发现功利的问题在欧洲的神明里面是最烂的。
One of the reasons is because the matter of justice cannot be found in Europe.
所以最高的神宙斯可以抢人家的妻子的。
The greatest European god Zeus could snatch wives of other people.
到处流放，强奸别人的妻子的。
He go around raping different women.
所以这些的本性不在别的神的里面。
And these attributes cannot be found in other gods.
在中东所有的这个迦南人的神中间都没有公义这个事情。
And in the gods of the Canaanites, you will not find justice.
所以这一个本性是在真神耶和华的身上。
And this mark can be seen only in the true God, Jehovah.
上帝是公义的。
God is just.
第一次把义这个字表现出来的时候
，The first time the word just came about.
是亚伯拉罕的口启示出来的。
It was from the lips of Abraham.
亚伯拉罕真是有信心之人的父。
Abraham indeed was the father of faith.
因为亚伯兰所信的不单是一位独神的上帝。
He not only believed in one God.
独一的上帝。
The only God.
亚伯兰所信的上帝更是公义的上帝。
He also believed that God is just.
那么当上帝要消灭这个所多玛、俄摩拉的时候
，When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
是因为这些城市的罪恶。抵触了上帝的圣洁和他的公义。
It was because of the sins of the city incurring the wrath of God.
神要执行法律性的审判。
And when God wanted to judge them,
这个时候亚伯兰受了启示。
Abraham was then inspired.
他回应的时候讲了一句话语。
He responded to God.
这句话是历史上永远长存的名言。
A phrase that is famous in quotation.
是治理的名言。
A phrase of wisdom.
他是审判全地的上帝，岂不行公义呢
？God who judged the whole world, will He not be just?
这样的话，你能在孔子的书里面看到吗
？Can you find these words in the work of Confucius?
没有。
No.
个别位格的最高的神的观念是不存在的。
The concept that God is in a person does not exist.
这个神有最公义的能力审判全世界的这一个权柄也是没有存在的。
And the idea that God has the power to judge the whole world also does not exist.
亚伯兰这一句话里面
，In this phrase of Abraham,
这两件事并在一起了。
These two things came together.
审判全地的上帝岂不行公义吗？
Surely the God who rule over the whole world will be just.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
像当摩西年老的时候
，When Moses was old，
就用一两章的圣经重新述说上帝的命令。
He used two chapters of the Bible to once again tell us the commandments of God.
这个就是第五本书叫做《生命记》。
It is the fifth book called Deuteronomy.
重新申述上帝的命令叫做《生命记》。
To once again tell us the commandments of God.
里面强调一件很重要的本性。
With a great emphasis.
上帝是公义的上帝。
That God is just.
上帝是公平的上帝。
That God is fair.
所以这就是真神与假神很大的分别。
This is the big difference between the real God and the false God.
一个人照着神的形象造，真的造到义的果效的时候，这也是真人与假人的分别了。
And this is also the mark between a person who is true to God and one who is not.
圣经就告诉挪亚是义人。
The Bible says Noah was righteous.
圣经告诉亚伯兰是义人。
Abraham was righteous.
圣经告诉我们约伯是义人。
Job was righteous.
圣经告诉我们许多的先知是义人。
That many prophets were righteous.
这些义人、义人、义人的这些人，是在把上帝的形象表现出来的人。
All these are people who expresses the image of God in their righteousness.
那么这个义到底这个字所隐藏的里面的奥秘内容到底是什么呢
？But the word justice, what kind of mystery does it have?
今天我要从五个方面来思想，然后我们就结束今天的讲道。
I want to think about it from five angles before we end.
当圣经讲义这个字的时候
，When the Bible used the word justice,
里面最少隐藏了五个因素在里面。
At least there must be five essences.
而当一个人真正把这五个因素都行出来的时候，这个人就被称是一个义人。
When the person can fulfill these five areas, we can call him righteous.
这个字就是 dikaiosune.
This word is dikaiosune.
英文叫做 righteousness.
Or righteousness.
我不知道为什么左派右派叫做 right 派 right and left.
I do not know why we call it right wing and left wing.
应该是 right wing and wrong wing.
Right wing and wrong wing.
为什么要 right and left?
Why is the right and left wing?
你不敢批判左派的人错，就是正右右跟左，但是呢，不是正跟误的问题了。
It is not just a question of left and right, but right or wrong.
好，什么叫做右？
What does it mean to be right?
你是正的。
You say it's the
那
right
什么叫做正的？
What does it mean to be correct?
所以你说这是正直的。
You say it's the correct path.
所以要从这五方面跟大家讨论义的问题了。
We want to look at it from five angles.
义的第一个内容。
The first content.
就是正直、诚实、勇敢讲出应当讲话的，这种人叫做义人。
A person who is righteous has integrity and will boldly speak the truth.
正直的反面就是弯弯曲曲，就是诡诈，就是不诚实，就是许多的阴险手段的，就是不义的。
On the contrary, a person who is deceitful and have a lot of tricks up his sleeve is not righteous.
你所交的朋友
，So your friend
是一个很正直的人的时候
，When he is righteous，
那么你说这个人是个义人。
You say he's a righteous person.
不一定正直的人所讲的都是对的。
It's not that everything he say must be right.
但正直的人不用虚假的话来欺骗别人的。
But it is not deceptive.
今天我上飞机以前。
Before I boarded the plane today,
在雅加达的飞机上看到很多几任的总统的这个他们的照片在那边。
In the airport, I saw portraits of all the presidents.
那个开国元老苏卡诺
，The earlier president Sukarno
是建立民族自尊之父。
He was the father of the nation.
苏哈道，
苏哈道
是个带动印尼经济的建设之父。
He was the father that brought about progress economy.
哈比比是印尼进入新科技时代的总统。
The president that brought Indonesia into the new
world. Megawati,
Megawati
是用沉默不讲话做他能力的总统。
Was a president that didn't speak too much.
到了这个瓦希德的时候，
瓦希德，
我就看到他讲什么话的。
I want to see what they say about him.
这个总统有什么话一定讲出来，无论对错，很诚实的。
They say that this president will just speak the truth.
这个人常常讲话的。
This person always speaks.
很勇敢讲话的。
Boldly.
他认为对的，他一定讲出来。
He will speak of it if he thinks right.
我很欣赏这个个性。
I appreciate this character.
就是没有诡诈。
There is no deceit.
没有欺骗。
There is no
纯心正直。
He is right.
勇敢讲出真理的话语。
Boldly he speaks the truth.
这是义的第一个记号。
This is the first mark of righteousness.
所以一个人诡计多端。
So when a person is deceptive,
用各类阴险手段。
He use all kinds of dirty tricks.
制造陷阱害人，一定不是一个义人。
If he create traps for people to fall in, cannot be righteous.
一个正直的人。
A right person,
一个讲实话的人
person who speaks honestly,
是一个义人
is a righteous man.
这是第一方面
This is the first portion.
义的第二个层次是什么呢
The second area,
就是待人公正
is that we are just to us all.
无论有钱没有钱
whether they are rich or poor.
无论高地位或者低层次
high status or low status.
无论是贵族无论是平民
whether they are royalty or the common
folk. 无论是学者无论是农夫
whether they are scholar or farmer.
你都因为他是世人而公平对待他，你这个公正的态度就是义人的态度。
When you treat them all justly, you are righteous.
这是义的第二个层次。
This is the second area of righteousness.
义的第三个层次是什么呢
？The third area.
你要照着你所知的真理去行事。
You are to do things based on what you know.
虽然我们所知的可能有限。
Maybe we know the truth limited.
但你要心存真理。
But you must have the truth in your heart.
你要拥护真理。
And you must defend the truth.
热爱真理。
You must love the truth.
那你要实行真理。
And then do the truth.
这样你就是一个义人。
Then you will be righteous.
这是第三方面。
So this is the third area.
第四方面。
The fourth area.
义是从纯心的动机来看的。
The righteousness comes from a motive.
就是你清洁的心。
That with a clean heart.
圣洁的良心。
With a holy conscience.
圣洁的动机
with a holy motive,
来处理各样的事情的时候
when you treat all these things with this,
圣洁变成你义的本质
holiness become the essence of your righteousness.
所以在圣洁中间行事的是一个义人
and those who do things in holiness is righteous.
第五个层次
the fifth area,
最后一个层次是什么呢
the last one,
你有对罪恶的威严
when you have authority against sin,
有对邪恶东西绝对不妥协的勇敢
And you have the boldness that will not compromise with evil.
这样的一个人
a person like this,
才是一个义人
is considered righteous.
你敢怒敢言
When you are willing to fight against the wrong
things, 见不对你就批判。
When you are willing to critique wrong doings,
你见对的事情你就勇为。
When you are able to defend the good,
你对邪恶的事情不妥协。
When you will not compromise with evil,
你坚持你的精神抵挡到底。
When you maintain the spirit and fight to the end,
这是第五个层面。
This is the fifth area.
所以当一个人有这五个层次的时候,
When a person can display these five different
areas, 就是圣经为我们的要求, 义的一些的本质。
This will be part of what the Bible demands of us.
我看见用这五个本质来再重新考验谁是义人的话, 就很适合圣经里面所讲的谁是义人。
And I think these five areas are biblical demands of us.
一个义人是一个很正直的人。
A righteous person is a person who do everything correctly.
一个义人是一个很公正的人。
He is a person who is fair and just.
一个义人是真正遵循真理原则的人。
He is a person that follows the principles of truth.
一个义人是对罪不妥协的人。
He is a person that will not compromise with sin.
一个义人是有圣洁良心的人。
He is a person who has a holy and
clean conscience.
And we have been made in the image and likeness of God.
请问我们今天是不是与世界的罪人同流合污？
The question is, do we behave like the sinners of the world?
你是怎样同流合污呢？
How do we behave like them?
就是存心虚假，从来不正直。
That is when you are deceitful and never right.
充满虚妄，从来不负责任。
When you are irresponsible.
也不照着真理，但是用许多欺骗的手段达到你的目的。
When you try to achieve your goals with all deceitful means.
偏待人，偏私，从来不用公正的态度对待人类。
When you treat people with bias.
你对罪惧怕，委屈，结果就妥协。
When you are fearful towards sin and compromise with sin,
你自己牵制各样污秽的事情，使你的嘴、你的眼、你的心、你的手都沾染世俗污秽。
When you yourself are involved in sinful behavior, that your lips, your heart, and your very action is stained by sin,
那就是一个不义的人。
And this is the case, you are not.
现在弟兄姊妹们，
dear brothers and sisters,
你是谁？
Who are you?
我是谁？
Who am I?
我们是人。
We are human beings.
为什么我们被称为人？
Why are we called a human being?
我们是很尊贵的。
We are with great honor.
为什么我们是很尊贵的？
Why do we say that we are with great
honor? 我们是按照上帝的形象造的。
It is because we have been made in the image of God.
什么叫按照上帝的形象造？
What does it mean to be made by this image?
神是公义的。
Because God is just.
他把公义的要求放在我们里面。
So he gives us the demands for justice.
他把公义的本质放在里面。
He gives us the essence of justice.
公义的潜在能放在我们里面。
And the potential for righteousness.
所以我们应当做一个义人。
So we ought to be righteous.
那么你说这是我个人的本质就可以了吗？
Does that mean that it's enough to be righteous myself?
不是。
No.
除了你自己要躲避拒绝各样的不义，成了一个义人神的工具以外。
Other than being a tool of God to be righteous yourself,
你应该推己及人，在这个世界上产生更多的公义，来造义人情。
What you need to do is to influence the rest of humanity that there may be more righteousness.
我刚才说，在世界上行公义是很困难的事情。
Earlier I said this is difficult to do righteous thing in the world.
我做一件小小的事，做一个结束。
I will end by a small illustration.
美国哈佛大学有一个学生，后来不要再读了，他就 drop out.
In America, there's a dropout from Harvard University.
这个人没有博士学位，他还能做什么吗？
Without a PhD, what can he do?
后来他的成功比任何他的教授都更大。
But he had greater success than any of his professors.
比任何拿诺贝尔经济奖的人更多的财富。
He is richer than all Nobel Prize winners in economics.
这个人就是 Bill Gates.
This person is Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is Microsoft 的创办人。
Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft.
是 Microsoft 的主席。
The chairman of the board.
他甚至可以用 $17亿的美金来建一个私人房子。
He can build his own house with $1.7 billion.
连美国的怕他形成自我的帝国，影响整个美国的经济，整个全世界的资讯都要受他控制。
He controls all the information technology of the world and can influence the economy of an entire nation.
所以有人就告他。
And so he was sued.
美国政府最怕的公民就是这个人。
Because he is the most feared citizen.
但是前几个礼拜。
But a few weeks ago,
有一个财主捐了几十亿的美金给他。
There was a philanthropist that gave him several tens of billions of dollars.
你说这个人是不是锦上添花，又不懂得雪中送炭，到底有什么意思呢？
And it seems very strange that the rich will give to the rich.
这样有钱人还要给他钱做什么呢？
What is the purpose of giving him more money?
当消息传来真正的原因的时候，很多人佩服得五体投地。
But many people became respectful when they realized what it was all about.
因为那个有钱人说，
Because that rich person,
也许我自己把这些钱拿来做公益事业做得不好，
said that if I were to tender the money myself and do not do well,
我宁可把这一笔钱交给 Bill Gates 去做。
I better give all my money to Bill Gates.
因为他的下面的这些人实行这个好好的照顾穷人公益事业，他们的方法，他们做的比我们更好。
Because his people are better in philanthropic acts than my people.
所以最有果效的社会公益的事业是他能才能做出来的。
And he believed that he can bring about great social changes.
我宁愿把这几十亿的钱送到那边去，让他去造福人类。
So I'm willing to give him billions of dollars that he may serve humanity.
这句话震惊全世界。
And this incident shocked the whole world.
但我告诉你，
But I tell you this,
我们获得了一天。
For every day that we live,
比别人更高级的享受。
We may enjoy life better than other people.
你有别人更多的机会。
We may have better opportunity than most people.
你有比别人更富裕的财产的时候。
When you are richer than most other people.
你有比别人更多的知识的时候。
When you have greater knowledge than most other people.
这些付出。
When you give all this out,
把这些分享，
when you share of this,
就产生了社会另外一个层次的公益产生出来。
It will give us another justice in
the society. 这样你就有神形象的表达出来。
In this manner, you have the image of God in your life.
愿上帝赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us.